There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
Look, Matt.
Where? Oh, I see. Wow. Oh, my.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Cool. Wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong. Las Culturistas calling. Still hungover.
Still on the come down from awards night.
Still on. Honestly, the awards went off without a hitch. They were New York's biggest night, wouldn't you say, Bo?
I would say it was truly such an honor to be at the cultural epicenter of New York City, where some of the most amazing cultural events take place. I'm talking, of course, about the Big Apple Circus.
Yes, of course. No, but in a very real way. It was last year I got overwhelmed at the end and begun to weep on stage. And this year I look over at my sister and I saw that steely facade had melted away. And Bowen had begun to weep. He had begun to weep.
In a way, I know my heart was waking up. And all the walls came tumbling down.
They really did. But wow, all the Katie's readers, publicists, and finalists who came out. And I will say, whether you got in and were present at the event or not, and we will address this, we just want to say thank you so much. I mean, the fact that this was just a little tiny bit that we decided we'd do on the podcast, and then it became this literal event, and we'll get into the particulars of what the event entailed, because, I mean, I'm still so shook by some of the stuff that happened, but just the biggest thank you and the biggest hug and, you know, hopefully consensual open kiss on the mouth to all of you, because this was... this was an unforgettable one for sure.
Definitely. I would say the same. And I was just kind of overcome by the end of the night with how lovely it was and hearing a lot of fun stories from people about friends they made in line.
Yeah.
Reunions that happened. A lot of solo people meeting up together. Really, really special. So thank you so much. Yeah. On this subject, before we get into a little breakdown, if you couldn't get in, we're so sorry. It really did. Matt can attest to this for me, at least for both of us. But I mean, I was really, really worked up about it afterwards at the after thing. I was like, oh God, I'm hearing about people who couldn't get in and I feel so bad. But the fact is that in the future, this will be something that truly anyone who wants to see it, be a part of it, can be a part of it. We'll leave it at that for now.
Yeah, we are definitely aware of the fact now and not. And I will say, this is I guess to boil it down, the success of an event like this, and honestly, this podcast in general continues to surprise us. And so I think that when we say something like, well, if you come 2 hours early to our free event in an outdoor space, you're going to get in. That's because we are so new to the fact where that might not be the case. And so I think that please understand that our intentions in sort of directing you guys in the way that we wanted everyone to get into the event were only with the intention of being as liberal as possible with how much time you needed and trying to over prepare you for what kind of wait would happen. And then the fact that a couple people waited a couple hours and still did not get in, I really, and like, I don't want this to be the narrative about the event because we did work so hard on it and so many people did and it was so much fun. But suffice to say, if you did go to great lengths to be there and could not enjoy it in the way you wanted to, this is something that is certainly towards the top of our minds. And we will do things in the future to make it up to you seriously, because we're now aware this is probably the last time we can do something like that in that way.
Correct.
But we love you down, in the words of Tomas Matos.
We love you down.
Their original All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey rap verse.
Which was really beautiful, so inspired. I mean, they took the time to write a custom verse for this event, really referencing all of the listenerships, but especially saying, blanketing all of you by saying you're all finalists.
Oh, yeah. If you took the time to try to make it out last night, you are a finalist. You have graduated. I understand that a lot of people are saying they identify as Katie's readers, publicists, and that there's a little bit of shyness when it comes to claiming the title of finalist. But if you made your way out there in what was, for a short time, a drizzle, you're a finalist.
You're a finalist. You're a finalist. I will say that, you know, if you had FOMO about this year, no matter what your reason was, if you weren't in town, if you couldn't get seating, it's only going to get bigger and better from now on in the future.
Truly.
Also, I was only comfortable really saying come a couple hours before because I'm not going to be the person, I don't know about you, Matt, I'm not going to be the person who's going to say, come sit and wait in line for longer than the actual show itself. Like that is, at that point, like it's almost, no matter how great the show is, usually not worth it, right?
I mean, I guess that was not up to us, but everyone that came thought it was worth it. And the thing is, like, we will continue to make it worth it going forward. And I also think there's another thing of, like, you know, when this event is coming together, we have the most incredible producer. Her name is Lauren Mandel.
She's going to run this town.
And so basically, she's going to run this town. I mean, that's for real. And we, Bowen and I, in the weeks leading up to the event, sort of just throw things out there that we think would be fun to happen. Like, oh, it would be fun if, you know, the cast of Titanic came and performed. It would be fun if we could get a video from such and such, and we'll get into it. And like, and if they wanted to accept the award and send in a video, people that are like objectively kind of busy right now. Yeah. And if they want to take their time out and do this, like that would be cool. And then showing up and it's all actually happened, that we were allowed to just be creative, like, Lauren Mandel, I almost don't even want to share her name with you because I don't want anyone out there who's creative and like might be able to hire her to take her from us. But then again, I do want her to have all the success in the world. So I will begrudgingly share her name and talents with you. But I mean, she made the show just an 11 out of 10. And we were able to be just so joyous in preparing for it. I mean, should we just recap from the top?
Yes, let's recap from the top. But I just want to co-sign on all the Lauren Mandel shoutouts and shoutouts to the rest of the team, Karina Strom, Maggie Jessica Leal, Randy Silver. We love you, Randy, so much. Mm-hmm. Charlotte Harrison, who designed the trophies, printed out the cards, cut together so many of the designed the graphic treatment. Ryan Gaynor, her fiance, for editing the videos, all the videos that you saw. Just an amazing group of people. David Dabin for music directing, arranging these
songs. The whole band.
The whole band.
All the dancers that we had this year. That was a whole other element. That was such a gag. I mean, like, it was, if you came last year, it was like last year, like doubled, and like, we will double that. We promise you this one. This has now become something that we find so much joy in doing. And of course, all the presenters and winners that we had and performers and everyone at Lincoln Center too. This was just the coolest.
Yeah.
When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place. Whether it's the beach, ski slopes, couples getaway, or even a visit to that best friend you haven't seen in way too long, Matt.
And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price, so you never have to miss a trip. Now, we all know we love to vacation together. We have various happy places. We love to go to Orlando, Florida. We love to go to Las Vegas, Nevada. We love to go to a beach anywhere. We love to go to Europe. But when we have truly traveled the world globally,
and domestically.
My happy place is with my sister and any of those locations he just listed. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group.
When one person from the squad travels, everyone gets more deals, and you can even choose your own crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. It could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save.
For me, I'm choosing Matt Rogers. I'm choosing producer Becca.
Yes! We're all going together, the Lost Culture family. So download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy place with Priceline.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Just to begin from the top, we began with a performance of Record of the Year nominee Eighth World Wonder. And I feel that I was able to look back at my, like, I don't know, 13, 14 year old self and say, yes, you did perform Eighth World Wonder to a crowd of thousands. You know what I'm saying?
You traveled back in time in that moment, you think?
I just remember being young and thinking, this is one of the greatest pop songs of all time. And it's sort of being played on the radio. And to now have it be performed on the same show as Padam Padam, America's number one, the world's number one song.
I mean,
a shout out to Kimberly Locke. And please, Kimberly, hear us when we say, you did that.
You did that. Kimberly Locke, who is now, I think in her, like, either, and I would love for her or anyone who knows her or is more familiar with her to correct me on this. I think she's in her, like, life coach / influencer era. I'm checking out her Instagram, her socials. She's at a winery talking to camera, front facing, going, what's keeping you from your success, or, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm like, she is, it feels right. K-Lo, as she was called, season 2 of American Idol.
Oh, yeah.
We called her K-Lo. She seemed to, gosh, and you and I were talking about this, right? Like, that was a time in pop culture when, especially on American Idol, where it was, but they wear glasses. They have they have so much talent, but they wear glasses. That was Clay Aiken and Kimberly Locke in the same season.
I mean, literally, what the theme of that, just to sort of leave the cultural awards behind for a second and to sort of talk about more pertinent things like season 2 of American Idol and its themes.
Yeah.
What the theme, I remember in the beginning of American Idol season 2 was, it was literally, should you look like a pop star or should you sound like an amazing singer? And basically what that meant was they had the frumps and they had the, like, sheeny, you know, like tank top wearing pop star muscle people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I remember the whole bit was like Kimberly Locke came in like a high waisted jean and a black T-shirt and like her glasses and her hair up and sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And then slowly
as the season went by, as she, Clay, and Ruben stayed in the competition and the frumps began to win, they blew out her hair.
Yeah.
They took her glasses off. They put the contacts in. They gave Clay Aiken that ridiculous gay red jacket that he wore during when he sang Grease. We've talked about this.
Yes, yes.
But they started to sex them up. They started to give Clay Aiken like Ryan Seacrest hair. They gave Ruben this thing where he would wear like a different designer jersey with his area code on it. Like mm-hmm. they sexed them up a bit.
Yeah.
And then they were the top three. Okay?
Okay.
So Kimberly Locke did that.
They did. Yes, absolutely. We sang Eighth World Wonder. I mean, I did travel back in time for a moment too, like just listening to that song in my mom's minivan. On the way to like piano lessons or something. Like that was a moment. And then, gosh, we opened the show. We took some census work and asked what the breakdown was among the Katie's Readers Publicists finalists.
And the Katie's really did respond. They responded in great numbers. It felt like a big Katie crowd.
Interesting, interesting. I feel like Steve Kornacki just kind of tracking the shifts in the demographics and all that. And then we thanked our sponsor. They didn't really sponsor the event, but we just did a little nod to Matt's famous reading of the Kraft Mac and Cheese ad, of course.
That is a reading we both did, okay?
I think I was just there to like give some spice, but you were the meal, you know what I'm saying?
Here's a glimpse behind the curtain when it comes to ads. Sometimes an ad will reach out and they'll say things like, here's the copy. And then they'll say something like, add some personal experience. And so Bowen and I will rotate the copy. And then if you're the unlucky one that day, you get to be the one that adds quote unquote personal experience with whatever the product is. And you may not even have much personal experience.
And whether or not you do, 99% of the time, you just kind of lurch through it and you're like, I don't know what to say. But Matt, something, talk about what spirit moved you when you recorded that amazing, amazing account.
Well, I think that Kraft Mac and Cheese tried to do this thing in sending us the ad where they said, let's connect culture and Kraft Mac and Cheese.
Yeah.
So the line, what's the best culture to enjoy while consuming a bowl of Kraft Mac and Cheese? That was written copy.
Yeah.
And you asked me that. And for some reason, I just said Sex and the City. And then I believe it was the connection between the insatiable nature of Samantha Jones and how hungry
all the women.
I can personally get. Yeah, I did say all the women. I think that's really sort of form met opportunity there.
Yeah.
And I sort of just went with it. I went with a carnal desire for Kraft Mac and Cheese. And that's sort of like just a glimpse into how that process came to be. You know what I mean? And then we just passed the ball back and forth. Once you get horny for Kraft Mac and Cheese, it's actually incredibly hard to stop yourself.
Oh, 100%. Because also what was happening was the finish line was we had to like land on, you know, in doing a bowl of Kraft Mac and Cheese is doing something for yourself, especially in a world that tells you you can't. Like that was, I think that was mostly written copy as well.
It was.
So you really built the bridge to that idea by throwing Sex and the City in there, and it all works, and it feels like a different movement. It feels like a different act in the play, the screenplay, all of it. And so, gosh, what a huge success that is. And you really did that.
Well, when I knew that we were sort of, because the Culture Awards, of course, it honors culture that is in all of space and time. You know, we're talking about best lunch. We're talking about best fish. We're talking about, you know, so many
kind
of these things.
Screening.
But also you do want to honor the current year.
Yeah.
And so I felt like we couldn't commemorate this year of lost culture without nodding to the Kraft Mac and Cheese, because I believe that culture is commerce. I do. And I knew that if there was something that elevated our podcast this year, it was the way that the Kraft Mac and Cheese ad impacted. That's when I knew we had done something here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We've been doing it for, gosh, 7+ years at this point. And the only time I knew we had really done something here is when I saw readers, Katie's publicists and finalists really reciting and responding to the Kraft Mac and Cheese ad. And I just knew that their numbers saw a bump. That's when I said, I think we're really doing something here with Lost Culture.
And yet, I will be honest, we haven't heard a peep from Kraft.
It hurts.
It hurts. That's all we'll say.
It hurts.
We would have loved to hear from you. That's all.
Because you know what? We would have loved to hear from you because guess what? Maybe you would have earned some nominations because you know what? Oreo cookies, they were really grateful for their nominations and they left a huge winner.
They left a huge winner because they were, and I hate that we're sort of, you know, perpetuating this notion that like the more you engage and campaign with an awards body, the more they're rewarded. But you know, that is just how that's just how the world works. And Oreo engaged with us and the publicists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And look, I mean, they're called publicists for a reason. I mean, we say it here. Like, first of all, let's just say this. Just pull the curtain back. See the man behind it. This is a business. Mm. Okay? This is a business. We wouldn't have for your consideration ads. Let me underline that word, ads, if this wasn't a business. Okay? Yeah. You got to pay to play, baby.
Oh, I mean, look, we're not above pay to play. You've known this all along, secretly. I am very naive. And I am learning things about this industry that are a little ugly to me. Necessary.
Bone sucking cock for the Emmy this year. Okay? You heard it here first.
I think that's all I'm doing for the Emmys this year because I'm not really getting much play elsewhere.
Anyway. Girl, in just weeks, we'll know.
Yeah. And then we reintroduced Miss Culturista, of course.
Oh, yes.
Patty Harrison came out. We were so glad she was able to join us. We made the trophy 4 ounces lighter this year so that she could carry them with more ease. And
yes,
she had no issue carrying the trophies this year at all, but she did threaten us with hate speech. She said she was working in a nonprofit space with a lot of, you know, thinkers. And in honor of Pride Month, she says that the sort of the big mission statement of this organization is gay hate speech.
To stop gay people. She said she wanted to stop gay behaviors. You know, just before I went on stage, so another peek behind the curtain, Bowen started on stage right and I started on stage left,
isolated.
So we could sort of meet in the middle for Eighth World Wonder. So we actually weren't even speaking before the show. We actually barely even spoke before the show. We really only, the only first words we said to each other were the beginning lyrics of Eighth World Wonder. You know, we communicated through song, but so sort of on stage left, Patty was sort of workshopping a phrase for her nonprofit. And she was saying things like, she's like, I want to make America good. Like, how do we make America good once more?
No.
And I was like, Patty, I can't. You're dancing around something very dangerous here. And I said, I have to go sing. And then I went out and sang with you. The whole time I was worried that she would get out on stage and start to spew hate speech. And then she did. So we sent her off the stage and said, you know what? Just do what we told you to come here to do. Just hand out the awards.
Just hand out the awards. And honestly, obviously we're modeling Miss Culturista after Miss Golden Globe. And that's usually a child of an actor. And that is like, I mean, we were just doing Nepo babies. We were just parading them out like year after year. By the way, RIP HFPA, I mean, that is, it had to happen. So
what a fall from grace.
Truly, truly, truly what a fall. But we're trying to sort of subvert this whole weird moment we're in with nepotism and how to like handle it. And we brought in our friend, Patty. She's not related to us, but she's our friend, which is a degree away from family relation. And it's still, I don't think we solved it. I think some harm was still done.
That being said, we'll give her another chance.
Yeah.
Patty will return as Miss Culturista for as long as she wants to. And speaking of awards, we did pass out the first award, which was Kindest Greeting.
Yes.
Kindest Greeting was presented by Joe Firestone with help from professional actor from Netflix's upcoming Glamorous and the film Fire Island, Zane Phillips.
The extraordinary Zane Phillips.
The extraordinary talented Zane Phillips joined with the actress and star Joe Firestone to present Kindest Greeting. And he actually acted out the greetings, which I think
elevated it
just to see just how kind the greeting could feel. And I think that really made it clear how tight that race was. But the winner was, of course, Bonjour Boo.
You know, I had a thought this morning as I was, for some reason, and this is true, while I was taking out the trash, I thought, we have been waiting for you. Not necessarily kind. It depends on the context, because if you're late to something and someone goes, we have been waiting for you, not kind.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what? Maybe most patronizing greeting.
A little bit.
That's one where tone comes in big.
Yeah.
And sometimes tone comes in big. And that's actually Roller Culture number 8.
Sometimes tone comes in big. Yeah. Well.
So Bonjour Boo was the winner.
Bonjour Boo was the winner. Hi, My Love would have won, but I think people are a little fatigued with how often it's said, and people, I think it started to like with that ubiquity, I think people are like, it doesn't mean anything. It loses. It's not kind to hear right. Hi, my love, because I just hear it all the time.
It feels like maybe 3 years ago.
A little bit.
You know what I'm saying?
Bonjour,
boo. It feels like a legacy nominee.
Yeah, it's okay. Bonjour, boo, I love. I'm really happy for Bonjour, boo. Then we had a most memorable line from a TV show.
Yes.
A stiff competition there.
I mean, this was one of the biggest categories of the night, just in terms of what way it was going to go. And ultimately, Cook My Meat by Ego Wodum did win. And we did have Zane act all these out again. He did an amazing job. He's extraordinary.
And
Joe and Zane presented the award to Ego, who was there in person to accept. And she said in her acceptance speech, and I thought this was so beautiful, she said, "Cook my meat, toss my salad, and eat my ass. Thank you so much."
I mean, if that doesn't go down in history as one of the best acceptance speeches.
She looked fabulous in that pink.
Oh my God. When did she not?
She brought fashion.
She brought fashion. Oh, new dog owner, Ego Wodum. I mean, this woman has won. Is just a winner in every way.
Yes.
She's got a dog. She's got an amazing summer. She's got the looks.
She's got a dog and an amazing summer. And if you have a dog and an amazing summer, you're on your way.
You're on your way.
We then showed some winners, and we'll tell you right now. Biggest jester did go to Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn. Biggest flop was Tanya McQuad from The White Lotus. She went home with multiple awards.
Yes. Have I been mispronouncing her name?
So here's the thing about Jennifer Coolidge. When she's in the first season of White Lotus, she goes McQuad. Uh-huh. And then she goes McQuad. And it's like a moment of comedy.
Right.
McCoyd, I believe, is like how it's spelled. I don't think you can go wrong here. I think it's part of her flopetry.
I think I did. And McQuad is the French pronunciation of it. And I imagine that is, it's a moment of comedy, but it's a moment of character as well for, you know, Tanya, because it's like she cares a lot about where she comes from, her stock. And I apologize for mispronouncing her name. Mm-hmm. It's a cardinal rule of awards presentation or announcement is that people literally show up to rehearse and train and practice the names. But anyway, Tanya won. If you want the full winners list, Vulture did update their articles, and the winners are bolded if you want to check that out.
Yes. I mean, just to run through some, biggest jester flop went to Kitara Navache. Biggest jester flop in the Clown Square was the studios who will not give the WJF Fair deal, which we still don't have. Biggest night of our lives went to Winnifag Sees Adele, Las Vegas. The Melanie Lynskey Award for Most Sweetest Person went to, can't remember her name, but that girl from The Other Night. The Freedom Award for Criminal Who Should Be Free. The girls locked up at the end of the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. And these are all on Vulture.com. I mean, so many winners. It just was an amazing evening.
It was an amazing evening. Then we went into Pat Regan presenting the first Record of the Year nominee on stage.
Yes.
He so wonderfully set up the cast of Titanic performing If You Ask Me To by Celine Dion. We're talking, of course, about Marla Mandel, Constantine Rizzulli, and Carrie St. Louis doing an amazing rendition.
Yes. I mean, they performed If You Ask Me To. It was stunning. I think that Pat was right when he said this is maybe Celine Dion's 11th most known
That's
song.
High placement.
Do you feel?
I think that's
very high.
Can
you rank Celine Dion's most known songs?
Gosh. My Heart Will Go On.
One.
Oh my God, this is so hard already.
I think number two is obvious.
It's All Coming Back to Me Now.
There you go.
Because You Loved Me, Beauty and the Beast.
Four.
Tell Him. I'll throw that in there.
You think that's five? I would say Power Drove All
Night.
Love.
Power of Love. I Drove All Night. Take Some Chances. Him, okay.
That's eight.
I mean, I think there are like at least five more before If You Asked Me To. You know what I'm saying?
Wow, so we're already at eight, and it feels like If You Asked Me To is not even coming close.
Here, let me get to 11, all right?
Okay.
Where Does My Heart Beat Now?
Nine.
Oh, God.
That's the way
That's the way it is.
10.
Her rendition of Nature Boy.
Okay, and then there's also River Deep Mountain
River
High.
River Deep Mountain High, of course. I mean, you know, we're already at 12.
Just To Love You More, which I would agree. So, wow. Maybe when I wrote that copy up, I was a little too judicious.
That was not a dig at you.
I didn't say you did, honey. I'm just saying a note for myself. I should have said maybe her 18th most known song. And maybe that's a little rude if you ask me to.
No, but it is. It's part of the joke in the copy is that Pat Regan is saying these words. And to Pat, it's definitely the 18th most or even the 11th most popular song. And in the show Titanic, it is so beautifully done.
It's amazing.
It is like the showcase song. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I also want to say, I want to get out in front of this and say, if you ask me to, while a record of the year nominee, we said, if you ask me to by Celine Dion, I am well aware this is originally a Patti LaBelle song.
Right,
okay?
Right.
I'm well aware of it. It just feels like it had a bigger cultural impact when Celine Dion sang it. We could debate why, and we could get into a really academic discussion as to why that happened. I am aware of its origins.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
If you ask me to, by Celine Dion, V.I.V., the Titanic cast, was why it was a Record of the Year nominee. In fact, peek behind the curtain, there may have even been another Celine Dion song that was originally a Record of the Year nominee, and we kicked it over to the Titanic cast, and they said, can we do this song instead? And then we said yes, and that's absolutely why it's a Record of the Year nominee. I think you could confirm.
Well, Titanic had a Record of the Year kind of year. Does that make sense?
100%. They were topical. They were top of mind all year.
They were top of mind all year. And so we really just, we gave them their pick. And we have we have no regrets. You have no regrets as an audience. So anyway, then we had Bonnie Milligan, Tony Award winner Bonnie Milligan, via video. She could not join us, unfortunately, because she was performing in the Tony Award winning musical for Best Musical. Kimberly Akimbo, she presented the Kimberly Akimbo Award for Best Indoor Live Performance to Titanic. Beautiful moment.
Accepted. Oh, it was amazing. Just to be able to highlight the gay monoculture that was Titanic this year. If you were in New York and gay, Titanic was monoculture.
I have on good authority that there are some prominent heterosexuals who love Titanic.
I heard the same thing.
Some people that we all know love Titanic.
Watch this space for Titanic, okay? So then we had the host of Exploration Live come out. And this was Charlie Bardet and Natalie Rotter-Lightman, who really became fan favorites on this podcast after our episode with them. And so we knew we had to have them to come present.
Not that they needed us to signal boost them at all, but I mean, I think people were like, who are these two? And I think they have a lot of lovely fans crossed over into our listenership and vice versa.
Absolutely. So we had them on stage to present. These were coveted awards, Best Gay Guy Normal and Best Gay Guy Famous. Best Gay Guy Normal was a tie. Mm. It went to a nurse and a teacher. That was an incredible moment.
So good.
We had a nurse and a teacher who looked suspiciously like George Severus and Sam Taggart up to accept the award. And I think they represented all the nurses and teachers in the crowd. I'm assuming there were many gay nurses and gay teachers in the crowd. I just have that instinct that that there were.
Yeah.
And then they presented the award for Best Gay Guy Famous. And I'm sorry, is this a soft spot for you?
No.
Is this a rough one?
I was not very competitive this year in my categories. I really wasn't.
You didn't think so?
No, I think I'm like, I think I needed to just sort of step away from that whole, you know, process. And I think I'm the better for it, you know?
Well, Best Gay Guy Famous did go to Andy Cohen, who was kind enough to send in an acceptance speech in which he actually... He vowed to be even gayer this year. He said that we made him want to be gayer. I'm hard pressed to see how Andy Cohen could be a gayer person than he currently is. We were on Watch What Happens Live with him this week. He was acting gayer than
ever. Very gay. Mm-hmm. Some people think of him as like the gay impresario of the current pop culture. And that's so redundant. You know, gay impresario. Every impresario is gay. Every impresario works in pop culture. He is the impresario. He is the gay guy famous. The best one.
Yeah. See, every impresario is gay. That's actually roller coaster number 39.
Every impresario is gay.
Impresario, I don't think there's a gayer word.
That's the gayest word there can be. And the gayest thing in person you can be. And Andy Cohen is the singular impresario. Congrats to him.
You are an impresario, Andy Cohen.
Congratulations.
Congratulations to you.
Another winner's package where we went through more categories. Anything you want to highlight in this batch, Matt?
Here's the thing. Pizza Night was a huge winner. And I knew there was a huge moment, a movement rather, for best holiday changing day for that to be Pizza Night, for best dinner to be Pizza Night. And I'm really happy for everyone out there that was pulling for Pizza Night, because I think that there's a stigma around Pizza Night.
Yeah.
Because it can't happen every night.
No.
You know what I mean? It's like Pizza Night is a treat.
Yeah.
That's why it's a holiday. You know what I mean? That's why it's a holiday changing date. So for it to be both best dinner and best holiday changing date sort of makes it feel like, you know what? It tipped to celebration for me. And I'm just really happy.
I'm really happy because this is what happens in a lot of awards is that if someone is represented more than once in a category, mm-hmm. if they're a multiple nominee, sometimes that works against them. It's not fun to root yes. for them. And I think Pizza right. Night never got snagged by that. I think Pizza Night was always fun to root for.
I think, let's just say this, it has not been a good week for Doja Cat.
She was, I mean, besides her new single, I think this has been a rough one. She lost all her She's categories. Been,
she went home empty-handed from the Las Culturistas Culture Awards, and she was absolutely dragged to hell by Azealia Banks.
I did see what Azealia said. I mean, but who among us has not been dragged by Azealia?
I really await my moment.
Azealia was nominated last year. No, she did insult us. She was nominated for worst insult towards us. Fucking faggot.
Yes.
To all gay
oh,
people.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
To all gay people. So I guess what I'm saying is, like, to get individually insulted by Azealia Banks, who really is, I guess,
a poet laureate.
You know, not to insult any of our readers, but the best reader and really the poet laureate and, like, the leading insult comic of our generation, to get an individual insult from her, I hope Doja can at least find something positive about that, because she does go home empty-handed from the Las Culturistas Culture Awards, where she was blanked and, you know, called corny by Azealia Banks. But there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
There's an honor in being insulted by Azealia. I mean, best thing that happened to Grimes was being told that she looked like she smelled like a roll of nickels. I mean, that is... that's the top for me. You can't beat that. You can't beat that as an insult.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. Also, everyone's saying that Melanie Lynskey did not go home with enough awards. She won the Shiv Roy Award for Best Fake American Accent, okay? She's a Las Culturistas Culture Award winner.
Period. Well, we're going to talk about this later, about our finalist of the year winner, because there was a moment that... We have to address. Okay, let's keep going. Oh, and then finally, of course, in that package, scariest moment in history went to Hereditary Little Diva Head Come Off.
Hereditary Little Diva Head Come Off, yeah.
We had a fun celebratory moment with a cut video to Heads Will Roll by Yaz. And we
all did the Macarena.
All did the Macarena to it. Lovely.
Sort of as a nod to the past of the Culture Awards, and also maybe even a nod to its future. Maybe we'll see the Macarena employed to different kinds of songs in the future. It just shows what a malleable dance it is. You know, people talk about the step touch as being something you can do to really any song.
Too simple.
People talk about like a body roll being like something you can do to really any music. Mostly R&B and hip hop, but really you can do anything. Who says you can't do the Macarena to the song Heads Will Roll by the Yeah's while the clip from Hereditary plays? Like, you can do anything. It's so something I hope people felt at the end of the award show, is that you can do anything.
Yes, agree.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly. Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Well, spring is in full bloom. Are your finances blooming too?
With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa credit card, it's easy to start building credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments with no annual fees or interest.
And if your credit scores grow, so could your opportunities for lower rates on loans, like for a car or a home.
You know what I love about the Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card?
What?
There are no annual fees, interest, or credit checks to apply.
Yes!
You can use it everywhere Visa credit cards are accepted. Take back your finances. Build credit using your own money.
Yeah. Did you know that with Chime Credit Builder that you can get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit?
I did. You can also overdraft up to $200 without fees with SpotMe when you set up a qualifying direct deposit. Just set up a qualifying direct deposit, sign up for SpotMe, and Chime will spot you up to your limit when you make a credit card purchase or cash withdrawal that exceeds your balance.
With Chime's secure credit card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at Chime.com/culturistas. That's Chime.com/culturistas. Chime. Feels like progress.
The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to Chime.com/disclosures for details.
What was the next award, Matt?
Was this when the biggest current threat to us winners came
yes,
out?
Yes, we had announced George and Sam as the biggest current threat to us award winners. And so at this point, we brought them on as winners tonight. George Civera, Sam Taggart, the presented outstanding mm-hmm. reality competition host.
Yes, this was a hotly contested race, but the winner was Alan Cumming for the Traitors. And he was kind enough to send in a video from the woods
in Scotland.
And this was a scary moment in the show, I felt, because he really gave us Traitors Alan Cumming. He was unable to accept in person, but he did send wordless twinks gagged and bound to accept the very heavy award. And they did such an amazing job that we actually kept them for the rest of the show. And we just decided, let's just keep employing these twinks that Alan sent, because I honestly, quite frankly, was afraid of what happened when we sent them back to him.
I was very afraid. I was very afraid. Wait, for Alan or for the twinks?
For the twinks.
Oh,
I was
too.
Like, okay, like, let's make sure these twinks get fed, whatever that means.
I mean, I can't imagine where they would feed from because their mouths were taped shut.
Their mouths were taped. And it sort of felt like they were under strict instruction to keep their mouths shut, literally, with black tape. So,
is that going to fly in 2023? Are we just letting this happen?
I think Alan can get away with anything. I really do. I think he's an international treasure. And listen, Alaska Culturistas Culture Award winner. So congrats to him. He takes home the award for Outstanding Reality Competition Host. And then this was a huge moment for us.
Yes.
Because George and Sam, who, by the way, they vowed to take us down.
They were the villains of the night. I think
they were the villains of the night.
I think they liked that. And that's okay.
Yeah, they're sort of dark, you know, the two of them. They're sort of like evil. And they really vowed to take us down as the biggest current threat to us. And that earned boos from the audience. And I don't know how they feel about it, but
yeah,
they should think twice before they threaten us again.
Well, you know, George is giving glasses and Sam is giving mustache. And there are some parallels there with us. And I feel like people are really, they see a new way to enjoy glasses and mustache. And they go, I want to enjoy this, but it's different. But it's familiar. What do I make of this?
Well, there's basically they feel they've reached a maximum. Mm. We've reached critical mass. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like the multiverse, which we'll get into later. Like they're a multiverse version of us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm going to get into it. But they presented the award for most iconic building or structure to LaGuardia Airport Now. And we accepted on behalf of LaGuardia Airport Now as its biggest champions.
I mean, and we just watched a beautiful supercut of the new Delta Terminal LaGuardia set to Glamorous by Fergie.
Yes. And I think that made the audience really feel like comfortable, because at an award show, you really are on the edge of your seat the whole time, because you're sort of, you know, who's going to come out? What's this performance going to be? Who's going to win? I did want to give the audience, and I think you agreed, like a moment where they could just sit back, relax, and enjoy a clip package that made them feel good. And so just to see the Delta Terminal at the new LaGuardia, I could see everyone's shoulders dropping. I could see them sort of like, you know, rolling their heads to Glamorous by Fergie. It felt like a good relaxing moment about, like, you know, almost halfway through the show.
And isn't it so funny, because there really is nothing more glamorous than an award show.
No, there's not. It was a perfect moment.
Perfect moment. Next up, we had another winner's package into our next Record of the Year nominee, which is Padam Padam.
So basically, we were under the impression, and like I said, Lauren Mandel, our producer, she makes amazing things happen. And yeah. We were told that Kylie Minogue was going to come perform Padam Padam at the Las Culturistas Culture Awards.
And we said, but wait, Lauren, isn't she performing at Jones Beach with Deborah Cox? And isn't she just coming out to do a couple songs and then bouncing? And then Lauren goes, yes, exactly. So she's going to, we're sending a blade chopper to Jones Beach. We're going to blow sand in everyone's faces there. And then yes. She's going to hop on the copter and then come to Lincoln Center. I mean, the top of the David Geffen Hall is basically a helipad. It's a flat ceiling.
It made perfect sense to us and felt feasible.
Yeah.
But then I also did, I was like, I was a little, I don't know, my Spidey Spence, Spidey Spences were going off when I noticed that Patty Harrison was sort of missing. So she was Miss Culturista and all of a sudden she wasn't handing out the awards anymore. The Twinks had started handing out the awards. I said, right. Where's Patty? So the dancers come out in their iconic Kylie Minogue Padam Padam red. And then who's posing as Kylie Minogue? It's Patty. And she sang Padam Padam as Kylie Minogue. Her appendix burst mid-song.
Twice. Which I don't think happens ever.
I kind of think once your appendix bursts, appendix is burst.
Yeah.
She did sound a lot like Kylie, though, I will
say. Her appendix burst. She revealed that she's been dealing with bed bugs.
Uh-huh.
And then she also was pointing out things on the stage. I think she was really disturbed by someone's insulin needle.
It was a mess.
We're so sorry, Kylie. Or sorry, Patty. I mean, I think we stressed Patty out because she would have been able to really fool us into thinking it was Kylie.
But I mean, it was great to hear Padam Padam.
I mean,
who's tired of that song?
No one. Not even us.
Gets bigger every day.
Then we had Winner Ego Wodum come out, present the two awards with the word girl in mm-hmm. the category. This is the Ariana Madix Award for Girl You Can Do Better, Hun, which of course went to Ariana Madix.
Yes. She was kind enough to send in a gorgeous video acceptance speech wherein she reminded us that reality TV is not trash. And I never thought this.
Oh.
And if I ever did, I want to go back in time in a DeLorean and slap myself in the back of the head and say, fool.
But I think she was talking to people who, there are still some holdouts, people who think that it's trash. And it's like, the way Scandoval dominated the cultural conversation should get rid of any of that feeling. Like, that should put that thought to rest immediately.
I want to see the Emmy nomination for Vanderpump Rules. Okay, I'm saying it.
Did you see it loud? Did you see that FYC video that like that thing they put together where they talked about the finale?
Oh yeah,
it's the producers, it's Sheena Shea, it's Andy, all being like just giving you, and it was fascinating.
No, they're working for it,
and they deserve it more than anybody.
100%. So Ego remained on stage, and she presented the Allison Williams Cool Girl Award to none other than Ariana Grande, who also sent in a video speech. And describe what this legend, what this fag did.
So she basically cut together a reenactment to the moment in Mommy Dearest in which Joan Crawford, played by Faye Dunaway, wins the Oscar. She runs outside with Christina, with Mamacita, and accepts her award in front of her adoring public. A wonderful speech, a wonderful moment, a deep cut of a moment from Mommy Dearest, an underappreciated, underquoted moment from Mommy Dearest. And this is what made Aaron Jackson, who was standing next to me, turn to me and go, oh, this girl is a faggot. Like this girl, Ariana just gets it. And that's all. That's what we'll say. And we all know what that means, don't we? Publicists and readers and Katies and finalists. Like she's one of us.
And that's you can all. Confirm.
I can confirm. Then we move on to a winner's package. And we forgot to mention in the last winner's package, it ended with Cate Blanchett winning the award for the Cate Blanchett Award for Good Acting. And the reaction to her face, I mean, it was unmistakable. Everyone knew what was happening. It was Cate in her home, just elated at the win. And confetti everywhere, her kids throwing confetti from the banisters. You can see from the corner of your eye. And this is Cate Blanchett just winking at us because she's saying, I've known all along how ridiculous these award shows are. And she's had to play the game and like do the drag. But this is a moment for her to be like, let me just give you 2 seconds of silliness and stupidity and I'm out. We will say we did write her copy to say, I think she was like, no, let me just do my own thing. And we honor that.
Oh my God. I mean, I wouldn't change a thing.
No.
The fact that she allowed her home to get messy with confetti for us?
Ridiculous.
I mean, come on. What more could you want? That woman allowed her home to be covered in little pieces of paper. For us.
For us. Thank you.
So
Kate.
this winner's package, again, go to vulture.com and we'll also post the winners, ended with the song Breathe by Faith Hill winning the Santa Award for being unforgettable. And that led into what I think yet again was my favorite moment of the night personally. Last year, my favorite moment of the night was performing Driver's License in 4-part harmony with Josh Arp and Aaron Jackson and my sister Bowen Yang. And we're able to perform Record of the Year nominee Breathe in sheets that were ordered off Amazon that were a nod to
the music video,
the Breathe video by Faith Hill. And I have to say, I disappeared into the moment.
You did.
And I just allowed, no, we all did. I just allowed myself to enjoy singing Breathe in a satin sheet, so much so that I absolutely launched a belted harmony too early in the clear when we were not supposed to do that. And I wouldn't change a thing.
Baby, all we need is just to be. You were caught up in the touch.
I was caught up in the touch. I think I was so... peek behind the curtain. Wow, a third peek behind the curtain. Crazy.
This is the whole point of the episode.
So we're rehearsing this song beforehand and we're all sort of standing stagnant on stage singing the song, which is, you know, not uncommon for a first run through. Okay.
Right. Right.
And then I say, my note is we got to do a lyrics pass.
Yeah.
And then my second note is use the fabric. Cause why are we here if we're not going to use the fabric? Then lo and behold, during the performance, I'm too into using the fabric and I lost my place in the song and launched a belted harmony too early in the clear. And I felt, sure, I deserved that one.
No, no, no. I think it was a perfect moment because it earmarks that whole number for you. And I was right there with you. I was very present in that moment. I literally remember just walk out there, feel the wind on your face.
Ugh.
And that's all you have to do in this moment.
What an amazing song.
That's an amazing song. I mean, it's a song that does not need a bridge. Because it doesn't have one, because it doesn't need one. And the sheets I thought were a really nice, lovely little thing that we decided on last minute because Matt and I were watching the video on, what was it, Thursday?
Yeah.
2 days before the awards. And we were like, wow, this video, A, so 1999, so perfect. Love it. Mm-hmm. Timeless in a way. And then we went, look at Faith Hill, freshly fucked on that bed, covered up in that sheet, wearing just the sheet. Just like centrally singing about this love of hers, Tim McGraw.
We said, order the sheets. We said, what are we thinking?
What are we thinking? Because you know what? The video for this kiss where she's on flowers and shit, popping out of sunflowers or whatever, she's cute. It's good. Breathe is, I think, her best acting moment in a music video. And it laid the groundwork for 1833 for her Yellowstone prequel show with Tim McGraw. That's all I'll say.
She's apparently a sleigh on one of the biggest television shows in the country, which you could never tell us the truth.
1883, sorry.
1883. Yes. So you were 50 years off.
I'm sorry. Yes. And in a lot of respects, I am, yes.
Old soul. We always say Bowen Yang should have been born in the 70s.
Wrong decade.
But yeah, we said we got to get the sheets. So happy we did. It added a different texture, literally. And then we closed the song down and they didn't know we were doing this, but we kept Josh and Aaron on stage and we said, not only are you our sisters, but you are inspirations to us. You are an inspiration to the community. And that's why we award you when we honor you with the Diplo Award for LGBTQ.
They beat out a lot of people. They beat out RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars. They beat out Poppy Juice. I saw Oscar Enyé at Bubble Tea later that night. They were performing at Knockdown Center for that Pitchfork party. And Oscar goes, "Did we win?" And I had to look him in the eyes and say, "You didn't." No. And he said, "Okay." And I said, "Wow, this, you're the first person I've had to look in the eye this year and go, you did not win the award." And he laughed. But that's, so he understood. He said, "Josh deserves it."
Wow, Aaron found out.
Aaron found, oh, no, of course. He said Josh and Aaron. Sorry, that's what I meant.
He said Josh deserves it.
Josh deserves
wow, shade.
No, no, no. I mean, let's earnesty zone, honesty zone. I mean, Josh and Aaron are...
Oh, my God,
are,
earnesty zone.
Earnest,
wow.
Which is not a word. Earnestness, I guess, whatever. Josh and Aaron are... There is no queer comedy community without Josh and Aaron. I know we've probably said as much in recent years in the past, but I will always say this until the rest of time, especially right before they come out with their new movie, which exciting stuff coming, exciting news coming down. We'll let them announce it, not us.
Yes. We actually tried hard to get a trailer for the film to be shown at the Las Culturistas Culture Awards, but it's just... The note that was coming down was they didn't want grainy footage of the trailer out there. They want it to be presented in all its glory. This is an A24 film, okay, where it's getting a proper rollout.
Yeah, yeah. People aren't going to watch for the first time on reels off of a phone. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It as made much sense. As I want this to be a gay CinemaCon, it just couldn't be.
It made sense to us. But then, you know, we just love Josh and Aaron so much. Just perfect comedians, perfect people. I mean, they really still bring in... so many new faces into the fold. Like, I meet so many people through them still. Mm-hmm. And it's just really lovely what they've cultivated. And anything that we do that resembles that is just our way of sort of paying it forward.
That made them the perfect people to present the award for finalist of the year.
Exactly.
And this was hotly contested. I mean, all five of these finalists could have walked away with the award, but Darcy Carden was the winner of finalist of the year. She took to the stage to a standing ovation.
Huge.
She joined Josh and Aaron and she accepted the award. She had the crowd, one of whom was very upset to see Melanie Lynskey lose. There was someone who screamed when Darcy was announced as the winner, that Melanie Lynskey was robbed. And Darcy took to the stage and she sort
rude.
Of acknowledged this. She acknowledged this and she said a highlight of her own life was hearing Melanie Lynskey pronounce the name Darcy Carden. And then she led the crowd in a pronunciation of a Kiwi, Darcy Carden.
Darcy Carden.
And that was another cathartic highlight moment of the show.
Absolutely.
And then she capped off her acceptance speech by reciting "I Don't Think So, Honey" going to church on Sundays and Wednesdays with Aaron Jackson and Josh Sharp. Aaron Jackson, of course, the originator of that and a Las Culturistas Culture Award winner the year prior for best "I Don't Think So, Honey" of all time for that "I Don't Think So, Honey." The crowd all did it together. And it was only then that we were able to announce the Muna Award for Hottest Queer.
Of course, the nominees were Katie Muna, Naomi Muna, Joe Muna, fans of Muna, and Matt Bomer.
And remember, this was the queerest moment in New York City last night, even though Boy Genius had a concert, and even though just to the east of the city, Kylie Minogue and Deborah Cox were performing at a beach full of gays.
Even though Tinashe was slaying with backup dancers at Knockdown Center, one of the gayest venues.
Right. This was the gayest moment in New York because Darcy Carden, star of A League of Their Own, a gay show, was presenting the Muna Award for Hottest Queer to fans of Muna alongside Josh Arp and Aaron Jackson. And accepting the award were Katie, Joe, and Naomi from Muna.
That was a fun little surprise. We kept that one under wraps for y'all. But of course, some people clocked them entering the premises. Lovely, no problem. And they were so nice to join us. They were just at Bonnaroo the day before.
I mean, come on.
And we were so, so, so happy that they came. Real chemistry between the biggest, them and Darcy. That,
oh, yeah. I mean, that kiss that they all shared was... Boy Genius found dead.
Brittany Madonna found dead. And Christina found dead.
100%. So that went down. Then we had Pat came out one last time to present the Record of the Year nominee, All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey. It was performed by Fire Island's Nick Adams and Tomas Matos, who, as we said, tore it up. This was one of the best performances of the night in a night that was already stacked. I mean, this All I Want for Christmas Is You, it's here to stay.
It's here to stay. And I have to say, there is something about listening to a Christmas song sung live in June that really... It really is a new feeling. It's something I've never quite experienced before, and I did not expect to love it so much.
It was a get up on your feet moment. Mm. I mean, the vocals were together. It was giving Broadway choreo. It was giving chemistry. We were saying, Nick and Tomas, take it on the road or take it to the bedroom.
Honey, either way, we're happy.
Either way, I'm happy to think about
either
it.
Either way, I have a boner.
Either way, I'm erect. Yeah.
Then we had a lovely moment where we rolled a beautifully edited package where we had you guys send in videos of your moments that made you say culture was for you. We always want to know. And the thing is that, like, you know, we can't, I just always want to individually pull people on like what their moment is. Like, and we always hear from people, oh, I know exactly what my answer would be. And this was a platform for that. So many lovely answers. A lot of common answers, a lot of Spice Girls answers.
A lot of Spice Girls.
I think the beautiful poetic way to close that package out was someone mentioning Marion Cotillard's Oscar speech being a moment. And, you know, nice little way to ease us back into the awards proceedings of the night, which were capped off by Sarah Sherman and Celestium coming out to present.
Not nominated that evening.
The only presenters to not be nominated.
Good luck to them next year.
Good luck to them next year.
Only unnominated presenters, but, you know, good luck to Sarah and Celeste both next year, hopefully.
Hopefully. They were presenting for Album of the Year, a hugely contested category. You, of course, had Renaissance, Midnights, Prism by Katy Perry, Chapel Roan's album when it comes out. And then what was the fifth one?
It was the 2022 original Broadway recording of Into the Woods.
Yes.
And Chapel Roan did take it home for an album that we have not even heard yet.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
And then Chapel was nice enough to send in a video acceptance from London.
International.
She said, I'm so honored to win this award considering that my album isn't even out yet. Slay. And really, really good. Really good. Didn't really care about the fact that the album wasn't out, just went, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Finalist behavior.
And that's confidence. That's finalist behavior. That's confidence. She, of course, was a finalist of the year nominee. Watch this space for next year. Yes. I mean, we've all got our eyes on Chapel. The album comes out in September.
And
listen to Red Wine Supernova.
Oh, excellent. My perfect pop song. And then we have Record of the Year, the biggest award of the night. Wow. I get emotional watching them all get announced at the same time. I go,
yes.
We really have seen all these songs be performed tonight, haven't we?
We really did watch. And I think that Sarah and Celeste were so right when they said that not every song matters this year.
No.
And the pieces of musical art that we had seen that night were examples of music that we need now more than ever. Oh. And when the winner was announced and it was Padam Padam, all I could say was Padam.
Padam. And we were so honored to present it ourselves to Kylie, who, of course, was Patty, who said in her trademark Australian accent that all her life she had been told that she would never win awards or something to that effect. And look at her.
Yeah.
She's an award winner.
So proud of Kylie. So proud of the entire queer community for lifting up that song. There were no guarantees 30 days ago when it was released that it would win Record of the Year. Okay?
It's
there
true.
Were no guarantees.
And I'm going to say something, and I'm not calling anyone out, but I remember she announced this single. She announced the album being called Tension. And then there were a couple gays who were like, God, do you see the new Kylie album announcement? It looks awful. And I'm like, oh, you don't know what you're saying. Clearly not a Kylie fan. And I'm like, just you wait. But I even did not say that from a place of like anticipating that Padam Padam, the lead single off this album, would be a global phenomenon.
Let's just say something right now. There's something in the air right now. Kylie's album is called Tension. Kelly's album is called Chemistry. We need a third
science.
We need a third science.
Yeah.
We need bio.
Bio. We need endocrinology. We need a pop girly to come out with an album called Endocrinology.
Yes.
Period.
Who is it going to be?
Charlie.
We put it to you.
Yes.
Charlie. It is going to be Charlie.
No. Endocrinology. Like, who could it be? Interesting. It could be anyone.
We put it to you.
Let us know.
And we asked the readers, the Katies, the publicists, the finalists, make the album art. Which pop girly do you want to see with an album called Endocrinology? Pitch it to us by creating the album art.
Yes.
The Record of the Year, Padam Padam, was then performed by the entire cast of the show, and we tearfully, joyously celebrated everyone that had come, and we closed the night at two different places, really.
Bowen, I guess you went to Bubble Tea. I ended up at Flaming Saddles, where Jodie Benson, the original Ariel, was there celebrating her daughter's birthday. And I went up to her and I was so drunk at this point, and I said these words. I said this: "It is an honor to even be around you. You gave us a gift forever."
And then how did she say receive that?
She said, "Thank you. It's my daughter's birthday." I said, "Yes, it is. I just wanted to come say hello." And then I turned and walked your daughter, my ass away.
To take your daughter to Flaming Saddles at what must have been 1 a.m.
It was 2:30 in the morning.
Jodie. I always thought Jodie...
legend.
Here's my thing. I had mischaracterized Jodie in my head. I went, Jodie Benson, like, got her start doing, like, fun Christian music. Wasn't Crazy for You on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Of course was Ariel. I was like, I think she's wholesome girl. I think she's wholesome. Mm-hmm. Maybe even like socially, politically conservative in whatever way. Like, no problem. For this woman to bring her daughter and her daughter's friends out to Flaming Saddles at 2 a.m. on a Saturday night.
It was 2:30 in the morning and there were no signs of stopping. Let's just say this. Like, Jodie Benson outlives Matt Rogers in terms of being out.
Oh, me.
In Hell's Kitchen.
And me, period. All of us. Jodie Benson, my God. And this moment for her, I mean, The Little Mermaid, I still have not seen the live action. I feel like this is the thing with all these live action remakes, is that like across the board, it's like you can't touch the original. And Jodie, I think, can now move on with the rest of her life going, nothing will beat the thing that I helped make. I'm sure she doesn't feel this way, really, but I'm like,
I bet she does. That's kind of what I was saying to her. I was like, you know what? It's an honor to be around you. You gave us a gift forever. And I meant every single word I said.
1,000%. That is a song that makes you go, I can't think of anything better. I mean, Howard Ashman. And I don't think so, honey, Disney, for really fucking sanitizing that documentary. Because I needed to know about this man and the way he moved through the world as like a fucking gay radical, like, I fuck, okay? Like,
yeah.
Let me like be a gay man who is not just some like wholesome little pencil pusher, you know?
Where's the biopic? Where is the Ben Platt biopic?
We're getting it.
That's what I want to see.
I want to see it.
Movement. Start the movement.
Who plays Alan
Menken?
That
was the last... Oh, I don't know.
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill. I always want to involve Jonah Hill.
I always want to involve Jonah. We love Jonah.
I have to say that was the Las Culturistas Culture Awards. They were an absolute barn burner. And we hope that if you were not able to live them in person, that this recap helped you live them in podcast form.
Yes. I mean, what we did, and I said this via tweet, I will apologize personally because I did say the words, you will be fine if you, you know, come a couple hours before. I overpromised on the likelihood of getting a seat, but what we can promise now is that it will only be bigger and better in the future, something that everyone can be involved in, everyone can engage with.
And that's on promise.
And we love you so much. Thank you for coming. Thank you for celebrating with us. And award season is over, publicists. You can put your hats away.
Yeah, just rest.
Rest.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way.
kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
You know, but one of the toughest things about decorating my apartment has been getting things framed, finding a place that will custom frame all my beautiful art pieces that I have without breaking the bank has been close to impossible. But then I found Framebridge.
I found Framebridge too. Framebridge makes it easy to get anything framed at an affordable price. Easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a Framebridge retail store, upload a digital photo for them to print and mail your item using their free, secure, prepaid packaging. Or visit one of their 20 plus retail stores. Framebridge custom frames your piece in their studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. I love going into the brick and mortar locations. I've got one here in Brooklyn and they're so sweet. They can give you inspiration for where you want to get framed. I went in and I was like, I'm going to get my Chromatica ball bracelet framed. And they helped me.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I have so many memories I need framed and put upon the wall. And they have a curated selection of frame styles with design experts right on hand who make it fun to choose the perfect frame for you.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
Let us do some work right now as we do I Don't Think So, Honey. This is our 60-second segment that we do on every single episode of this podcast where we rant and rave against something in pop culture. I'm going to leave the award space. I'm going to leave the LCCAs behind. I'm going to do something else. I read a news item on the business this morning, and I feel it's time to say something.
Okay, this is Matt Rogers. I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, the multiverse. It's a wrap. Mm-hmm. Stop it. We did it. I don't think so, honey, that you can do it better. The Flash didn't do as well as they thought it was going to do.
Of course not.
Despite them really trying to like cram it down our throats that the Ezra Miller of it all was going to be worth it. That like at the end of the day, we really wanted to see them do this. That the movie was actually quote unquote good. No, you guys, I'm sorry. All of these movies feel the same. They really, really, really do.
Seconds.
And I think that you look no further than the receipts as to why people aren't going to these anymore. Superhero movies, we have reached critical mass. We are at saturation. We need either a 5-year break or a total reboot on these
seconds.
Fucking films. Will we get them? No, because you don't fucking get it. If you run a studio, you clearly do not fucking get it. And it's
five
just going to keep being diminishing returns until you, I guess, at some point get fired or do. I Don't Think So, Honey, the multiverse. It was done with fucking Everything Ever All at Once. Now it's over.
And that's 1 minute. It really was done with Everything Everywhere because I have on good authority that like the Marvel folks from the week that that movie came out and the week that like people were just sort of responding to it, it was just like the Marvel folks were scared. That's all.
I mean,
that's all.
Yeah, it's just like they were shook. And also it's like, when you finally can wrap your head around the multiverse, which is difficult to do because it's confusing, especially when like, you know, these movies aren't necessarily known for their clarity.
Right.
Sometimes I'll be a little stone watching one of these Marvel movies and I'll be like, wait, what the fuck is happening? What's this stone?
I don't think so.
What exactly is going on?
I don't think so, honey. Having to fucking read a Wikipedia article or like a fucking Screen Rant article before or after you go into the movie.
Like Ant-Man 2. It's like, I should be able to go to Ant-Man 2 and leave clean. You know what
and
I mean?
Leave clean.
I just want to leave clean. I want to leave these movies clean. Meanwhile, it's like, then you do understand what happened. And then in understanding it, you realize, oh, so there's like not really stakes. Because these people are all alive in other multiverses and therefore they can just kind of like whatever. Like Zoe Saldana I think has died like 17 times in Guardians of the Galaxy, and I'm making that up, but like if it were true you could believe it because they would do that.
Was she in the recent one?
I mean, yeah, but she didn't remember shit because she was the other Zoe Saldana. It's just stupid.
Right
it's getting stupid. And I like the Marvel movies before the multiverse. I loved Endgame. I loved all of that. It's just like, can we just go back to fucking basics? And now the DC of it all, like the Flash bombing, because they completely went in on the multiverse, which I also can't believe because didn't Marvel just do that? Doesn't it look inherently like you're copying them?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just, the whole thing is like, It's the snake eating its own tail, choking on the hotel, shitting it out, eating it again, multiverse snake.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm just like, let's just stop. Like, make it about tortured supervillain in a world where they have their little conflicts about their identity, you know, and then there's an evil person, you know, there's an entity.
Yeah.
And make it about that. Fucking with great power comes great responsibility. Perfect. Take it back.
I don't disagree. Thank you for that.
We gotta shut it down.
We gotta. Okay.
Owen, do you have an I don't think so, honey, to do?
I do. This one, I'm gonna bring it back to the LCCAs, but not about the actual awards themselves.
All right, here we go. This is Bowen Yang's I don't think so, honey, as time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. Lightning delays. We were shaking in our boots the day of because there was lightning 8 miles away in fucking probably central to South Jersey. Okay. And we had to clear the stage and sit in a room for like what felt like 3 hours just because there was lightning in like fucking Morristown. It's like it has nothing to do with us. Paramus. It has nothing to do with us. Why are you making
30 seconds?
Why are you taking this away from us when it has nothing to do with us? We had planned for this. We were like, it might rain, but it'll be during the day. And then we should be in the clear by like 2 p.m. No, it was like 4 p.m. We had to fucking sit in a basement.
15 seconds.
It did not ruin the day, thank God. And Lauren Mandel, once again, kept it so, so, so calm. Managed our emotions alongside the logistics of it all.
5 seconds.
But just the concept of a lightning delay for something that happens that far away, ridiculous.
And that's 1 minute.
And a lightning delay took away Gaga's last night on the Chromatica Ball Tour, took away her Miami show. She could not do her last show of this era that she fucking got blue balled out of. And then it ends with another moment where like she gets robbed of satisfaction, of fulfillment. It's awful. I hate it.
The lightning delay is, of course, here for our safety, but I feel it just has to be reconsidered.
Yes.
It's too much. Within 8 miles?
Ridiculous.
I said, get the meteorologist on the phone. Let me talk to media.
Get me the Doppler radar on the phone.
Meteorologist? Ms. Meteorologist? I want to speak to her. Because I had to say, within 8 miles, and then get this, readers, publicist, Katie's finalist that were actually at the show. Had there been lightning within 8 miles and you all had been seated, you would have had to go home.
We would have canceled the show.
The show would have had to be canceled. I said, we got to move this inside. We have to sidestep the lightning of it all.
We can't chance it.
We even had to get started about 5 minutes later because there was a rain delay, which we would never have known about because it wasn't raining.
Literally not raining. It was gaslighting to the max.
The weather was gaslighting us all day. We'd be looking at the weather app, which has not gotten better over time. And it says sunny conditions the rest of the day. 45 minutes later,
lies.
Duck and cover at 7 p.m., hon. 80% chance of thunderstorms. It's like, this is why biggest current threat to us included a nominee that was the fickle nature of the weather in June in New York City. And I didn't know I was tempting fate.
You were.
When I pitched that one as a nominee. That,
yeah, yeah.
And I had to sit there in the basement with you while Lauren was like trying to be like, okay, so what do you guys think about this, 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 this? I had to be like, did I do this?
No.
I'm going to let myself off the hook. I'm not going to let that be the narrative.
We had in Eighth World Wonder, we cut the line, your love's like a summer rain washing my dad's away. And I thought, if we would have kept it, wouldn't it happened?
7 days and seven nights of thunder would have been really prescient. Pertinent and prescient.
Anyway, went off without a hitch. We're so happy you came. We're so sorry if you couldn't, but we will make it up to you in the future, we promise. And we end every episode with the song, Matt.
7 days and seven nights of thunder.
You gotta preserve your voice. Listen to Eighth World Wonder by Kimberly Locke.
The legend.
Bye.
Bye.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly. Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
you know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Crocs, clogs, and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit Crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Some say Titanic is the best gay nightclub in the city, and those people are me.
And me. So set sail with this kooky crazy off-Broadway hit and get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.